We live in a country where active shooter insurance is a thing. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The El Paso massacre this weekend occurred at a Walmart and occurred just days after an employee shot and killed two other workers at another Walmart in South Haven, Mississippi. As part of his condolence message, Walmart CEO Doug McMillon posted on social media the other day, quote, "I can't believe I'm sending a note like this twice in one week." Walmart sells firearms at about half its stores, and activists have been trying to get Walmart to stop it. Now some Walmart employees are planning a walkout today to pressure their own company to stop firearm sales. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now. Where's this coming from inside Walmart?
It's mainly being organized by workers who run the e-commerce side of Walmart. They're calling for fellow Walmart employees to walk out today to convince the company to stop selling guns. We talked to one of the organizers, 22-year-old Kate Kessner. She works at Walmart's offices in San Bruno, California. She says they have very personal reasons for wanting Walmart out of the gun business.
A lot of us, especially because we're young adults, have been affected by gun violence. I personally went to UC Santa Barbara, so it was shot up a year before I arrived. One of our members was in a shooting. So we've all been affected by gun violence, and we just no longer wanted to be complicit in it.
Now, Nancy, we need to be clear. What is the scale of today's walkout?
Well, Kessner expects about 100 Walmart employees to participate. Her group also has a petition on change.org asking for the public to get behind their demands on guns.
What does Walmart have to say about all this?
Well, the company issued a statement calling for prayers for the shooting victims. Organizers like Kessner say their access to company email has been shut off, although she's not worried about being fired. Walmart has been quoted as saying it will keep selling guns. It has stopped selling assault weapons, and it has raised the minimum age to buy a gun to 21.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. As investigations continue into the El Paso and Dayton massacres, some businesses are considering taking out insurance policies to cover what are called active shooter events. The policies can cover office buildings, concert halls, schools. Marketplace's Jack Stewart has been looking into this type of insurance that is also a terrible sign of our times.
The days after a mass shooting are increasingly busy for insurers like Chris Parker at Beazley in London. He issues policies through brokers in the US which cover active shooter incidents, and he says demand is growing.
It tends to increase for a couple of weeks, then it decreases a bit. The number of inquiries is probably doubled from this time last year.
Coverage for a large high school is about $3,000 a year. A university would pay up to $50,000 a year. They're also seeing interest from restaurants, small manufacturing plants, and nonprofits. Parker says policies cover some basic costs after a shooting, like business interruption and medical costs.
We added on some other coverages, so the demolition, clearance, and memorialization costs. So that's where if an attack occurred at a particular building, we would contribute to the cost of tearing that down, clearing it, and putting up a memorial.
The costs there can be substantial. The new Sandy Hook school cost a reported $50 million. David Studdert at Stanford University studies gun violence and the laws and policies related to it. He says employers may be worried about liability after a shooting. They'll face a test of whether they've met a standard of care.
Mass shootings are a known risk, albeit a very rare one, and employers would need to be conscious of this, and I think many are. We see active shooter drills in schools and in employment settings.
The statistics are sobering. Over 300 people are shot dead intentionally every year. But experts caution that the risk to any particular workplace is still very small. Professor Adam Winkler at UCLA is the author of Gunfight, The Battle Over the Right to Bear Arms in America.
Active shooter insurance is probably something that very, very few businesses, if any, need. But you can understand increasingly why business people are looking to protect themselves against any kind of catastrophic risk.
As with all insurance policies, it's coverage they'll hope they never have to use. I'm Jack Stewart for Marketplace.
You can read more online about active shooter insurance and ways to assess if a company may need it. It's part of our Gun Violence in the Workplace series at marketplace.org. Checking the markets, the 100-share index in London is up 0.9%. Here, Dow and S&P futures are each up 0.4%. The Nasdaq future up 0.6%. China's currency, the yuan, fairly steady, but still above the key 7 to the dollar level, 7.05 at the moment. The Trump administration has gone beyond selected sanctions and has now put up a full economic embargo against the government of Venezuela. It joins North Korea, Iran, Syria, and Cuba, the only other countries under such tight U.S. sanctions. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more on the strategy behind the embargo.
These secondary sanctions freeze all Venezuelan financial assets abroad, and they prohibit any commercial interaction with the country.
The real issue here is whether the secondary sanctions will be effective.
Benjamin Gedan was National Security Council Director for South America in the Obama administration.
Which is to say, if the United States will be able to dissuade third-party actors and governments from doing business with Venezuela.
Those actors include India, China, and Russia. Gedan says those governments continue to buy Venezuelan oil and gold, providing an economic lifeline to the embattled socialist regime of Nicolas Maduro. Danny Bahar is a Venezuelan economist at the Brookings Institution. He's not sure these new sanctions will have the desired effect, Maduro's resignation and a democratic transition. And he says they give the government a scapegoat.
It's actually giving them a perfect excuse to blame their own incompetence onto others.
He says economic conditions were deteriorating long before the Trump administration's first round of sanctions in 2017. The United Nations says 3 million Venezuelans have fled the country over the last 5 years, making it the worst humanitarian crisis in the Western Hemisphere. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And all those higher tariffs are making money for the U.S. Treasury. The Wall Street Journal is reporting the government took in about $32 billion in extra money during the year that ended in June. That's after half the tariff money was given to U.S. farmers to compensate for lost sales caused by the Trump administration's campaign of higher tariffs. Now, we need to be clear, given some of the president's statements on this, U.S. importers pay the higher tariffs, not, for instance, China. Those importers either pass on those costs to consumers or forfeit some profit to pay for them. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.